Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omega 7 live coming to you straight from my studio. I am your Empress. I am your advocate. And I am your Maliwa. I am your mother, too. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. This is your Omega 7 live bringing it to you straight from the hip. Ladies and gentlemen, our billboards still have the remedy for nature's exploratory research on there. However, I'd like to apologize because of technical difficulty. We went to take it down, but it has not gone up yet on the register. So I'll just bring you into the new topic. As you know, we were covering a little bit about the victims and the problems that they were going through and talking about how to get them on budgets and how to help people that have been prey to some of the foreclosures. However, we wanted to go into a more pleasant type of topic because the holiday is upon us, and we always want to bring in some good tidings. But at the same time, we do want to speak about the issue. So we've had a chance to speak on that topic of foreclosures. And if anybody would like to call in to get more information about that, they can. We do have access to other professionals who are lawyers as well as special real estate people that we can refer you to if you need that. However, we're going on to the topic of, you guessed it, the communal tribe, the benefits of a tribe. And what are the benefits of a tribe and being in a communal situation? Since we are African here in this room, we have no reason to make any apologies. We're non-apologetic Africans in this room, and we do not have to apologize for addressing our culture. We're tribal. And as you know, I speak of our group as being a tribe. And when I go places, even though I'm alone, I speak of myself and the third party as being a tribe. And people tend to ask me, where are the other tribes? And I talk to them in the manner that I'm going to talk to you in. And I say, my ancestors are always traveling with me. So we're going to be talking about the benefits of being in a tribe. How the benefits of why you would want a posse traveling with you, and why are African people communal people, and why is it that whenever we try to do something in the power of one, it never works unless we are doing it communal style and including large sums of people in what we do. You must remember, collectively, we are one. We are one with many collective universal people, bringing it together under one thought, one mind, one concept. And we need to keep that before us, because sometimes we go off and think that it's all about us, and we think that we are the power of one. I don't know if you saw that movie with Roscoe Jenkins. Everything he touched seemed to crumble when he came up with the concept of the power of one. We're communal people. And there's no doubt about it. When you're communal, you do things in a communal style. And when you consider your brothers and sisters to be a part of what you're doing, collectively you're stronger. One can chase 1,000, and 10 can chase 10,000. So wouldn't it be better to include many minds and bodies? More heads are better than one. So we're going to be talking about communal lifestyle. We're going to be talking about, yes, you guessed it, marriage as well, because we're coming full circle now. And as you know, I had a hypothesis and a philosophy about reordering the marriage vows of the African-American for the 21st century. Now we are reordering the marriage vows again, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to stick with that concept of being communal, of looking at how women are going to have to look at this concept of 7 to 1. What does it mean in a relationship? Does that mean that there's going to be 7 women to every man? And if so, how are we going to fare in this new millennium without a man? And will we go off to ourselves with the power of one, or will we reunite ourselves to those communal situations where we see that polygamy is now back in style again? We're going to talk a little bit about that too, because I want your viewpoints on this topic. Being communal does not mean that you have 50 babies and 50 kids in your household. It means that you and your girlfriend and her girlfriend, you get together and communally you prepare foods for the community, you prepare dinners for families, and you do things in a communal style. And we're going to talk about that and get into some details about that, because we are Africans. It's no doubt about it. We are Africans, and we have to know that. We have to take our time to understand ourselves. Stay tuned. I'll be right back at you in a minute. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining our Care to Read Room. You've been hanging in there. Give yourself two thumbs up. And I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for following the leader. And I want to also say thank you for following me on Twitter. And if you follow me on Facebook, I haven't been out there for a while, but something is going on. They've locked me out of the room, and I believe that there's a lot going on. That's why they locked me out. However, you can't hear the show on Facebook anymore because I'm not able to get on there. But if anyone knows how I can unlock the door and let myself in, let me know about it. But anyway, I want to thank you for following me and being one of my followers on Blog Talk. I would like to take the time to say this because the season is up on us, and we're immensely blessed to have followers and people who check in and listen to the show, and I feel more than honored and just grateful, and I have to humble myself and say I am so grateful to you following me and being with me and going the whole distance, and even during the time I was out during school, you continued to follow me, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for being my friend. I want to thank you for being my friend and following the leader. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Just a little tune from the past, and I thought I would just enfrant you with that. Now, as we stand, let us go over to the Talking Cure Room where we do our work and we begin to work in the spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a ritual, and I'm trying to make households more ritualistic, and Africans have to understand we have to do things in a communal style. We have to call all of the family together, and even the deceased loved ones, we have to call them back. And I do that on a daily basis so that none of them are left out. And as I call them back, they can come with their expertise and still assist us. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm even yet calling them from the grave to come back and assist us because they have skills and they have melanin that we can tap into. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to be right back at you in a second. Hold tight. Ladies and gentlemen, we're at the throne of grace now. I hope you've made it over to the section where we are getting ready to become purified. And ladies and gentlemen, this is not church. And for some of you who think I'm taking you to church, I'm not, because I'm not ritualistically inclined to adapt myself to one religion. I am salubrious diversity, whereas I embrace all of the denominations, and that's why I gave you the schools of thought, because we go from glory to glory, and we transition from one school of thought to the next. And any religion out there for African Americans, it has to come from your culture. So I'm not pushing religion in this room. I'm pushing spirituality so you can develop a relationship with your higher self. Now remember, you're God. And when you begin to pray, you're praying inwardly to yourself. You're praying to the Godhead who's taken up residency within you. There's nothing out there in the atmosphere, so please don't get it twisted. You're not calling out to some spaceship, to the good ship in the sky, or the mothership. You are talking to yourself and the God that reservoirs within you. Yes, that's right. You are the little G with the big head full of wisdom, and God has taken up residency in you, so you are God. That's right. Don't look around and don't look upside down for someone else to show up. And don't be looking for Jesus to part the sky, because Jesus is found in you and I. And we will find him in our lovers. You'll find him in your lover's eyes. And you'll find him in your children. And when you find them in your lover's eyes, make sure you tell them, I can see the God in you. It's very important that we find God within ourselves. We are not searching for God on the outside. All of our solutions are on the inside. So let's remember that as we go over to the throne of grace and call on our ancestors to reconnect themselves back with us. Let's go. Join me, please. We like to pour libations to our ancestors this evening, and we like to pour libations to our higher self, Oladulamare. And we say, Ashe. So be it, so let it be done. We like to pour libations to my mother spirit, which is Yamenja, representing my mother spirit, Clara Jenkins. And I say, Ashe. I like to pour libations to my father spirit, Obatala. And I say, Ashe, for Robert Jenkins. And I say, Ashe. So be it, so let it be done. Now, as we permeate on the goodness of how the Creator is and how He has saw fit to take up residency within us, we ask that our vessels are clean and that we remember that we are allowing God to see through our eyes. So at all times, let us be conscious of the fact that God lives within sight of us. His reservoir takes up residency there. And that God is looking for vessels. He's searching high and low with all eyes on us. He needs us. And don't let anyone tell you that God don't need you. He does need us. He needs us to know experience through. And each one of us will provide a different experience for God. And we must be mindful of the fact that we can't go skipping into glory, standing before God and looking up to the sky to the Creator God, asking anything of Him. He is full of fire. He's combustible. That is not the God that we commune with. The God we commune with is on our head, and that is Ori. Let's remember that. Now be careful to thank God of all the great things that He's done for you and how He steered you away from this and that and how He's given you a path and a lifestyle. So we thank God that He spared us and He has shown us mercy. We thank Him that He gave us a right mind, a mind to serve Him and to live with Iwapelu, good character and good conduct. We thank you for the opportunity to go before you. And we want to call on some of our ancestors. I call on Mary Lou Hawkins. I call on James. I call on Eugene Lilly. I call on Essie Pope. And I ask them to be present here today. And I call on Tommy Pete Harvey, Michelle Harvey, Michael Harvey. I ask them to be present. Eugene Jenkins. I call on Marvin Jenkins. I call on Eugene Lilly. And I ask them to be present here. Ruby Lee Jenkins. I call on Ruby Lee Bracken. I call on Ruby Lee Lilly and ask them to be present here. I call on Lucille, Ludell, Louise, Aunt Nisha, Aunt Bessie, Aunt Isa, and I ask them to be present here as we witness the communal lifestyle, as we bring them back into position to help us to permeate what is good communal lifestyle and how do we establish a communal lifestyle here on this earth and what is it that we must do in order to satisfy our ancestors. It is up to the living to stay in touch with the dead. It is up to the living to be mindful to call our ancestors' names on a daily basis, and we say, Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very important that you understand that it's our responsibility to call on the dead and to make it mindful and be mindful of the fact that their shoulders are the ones we stand on. Thank you so much for allowing me to administer that prayer. Now I want to get up front and personal and comfortable with you, if you don't mind. And as we get ready to get into our topic, stay tuned.
Simple. I love it. Having you near me, having you
time to get personal. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the benefits of being in a tribal situation. And what are the benefits of being in a communal situation? We don't talk about this as often as we should, and Black people sometimes become somewhat embarrassed of the fact that people tend to say we travel in a tribe. It's true. We are very tribal, and we do love one another, and that's because that is how people must see us. They must know the way we love one another, and being tribal does not mean that you're being country or you're being buck wild. It means that that is the way God wanted it to be. He wanted us to be connected to each other, like we're connected to the coyote, and we're connected to the owl, who's connected to the deer, who's connected to the streams and the waters and the falls. We're all connected. There is nothing but one concept, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes we think we're an island and we're off on our own, but we're not. We're all connected. And the benefit of being a tribe, the Africans knew exactly what they were doing. They didn't have books. They didn't have mentors. They didn't have guides to tell them this, but they were connected to God. And God ministered to them and through them and gave them a direction and showed them how to commune with them. So God permeated himself in them. There was once a time when the Africans could come outside and be close to God and know what was in the mind of God. Yes, they were able to understand. The Dogon people were so close to God, God revealed personal things to them, and they were communal people. I really sincerely believe that what is going on in Africa and what has transpired in a way of tribal wars and the disruption in Africa is primarily because they have walked away from their traditions of being tribal and communal. They have become civilized and allowed most of these so-called ministers who are coming into Africa, trying to civilize them, trying to overthrow their religion and their traditions, and as they throw this off their back, they're throwing off their connection to God. I believe that God is not pleased with what is happening. He intended for the Africans to be tribal, and so did he intend for us as Africans to stay tribal. And being tribal means that you consider the other person. You consider having two opinions rather than one. And discussion is always something that the Africans feel they must put the time into, because the more discussion, the more ways that you begin to realize how you can solve a problem. Now, what is happening to Africans now is that we meet constantly, but we don't seem to have the wisdom and gain the knowledge from meeting and conversing. That's because we don't have a one mindset, a one global mindset. And when you have one vision and one mind, everybody can see things in the same eye. And at one time, Africans used to think just alike, and they all wanted to have a communal commitment to what the belief and the goal was. And you didn't have people going astray, walking away from the vision, people undermining the vision, and people trying to bring division between the vision. You always saw Africans asking, what is the vision? What is the one mindset? And everyone got in order and in line and tried to reinforce that vision. That's what we're going to have to do in this new world order. We're going to have to come up with concepts that we all can agree on. It's okay to disagree, but we need to disagree to be agreeable and find commonalities and goals and visions that we can stick to. Excuse me. It's very important, ladies and gentlemen, that we understand what our makeup is. And our makeup is that we are tribal. And our makeup is that we're communal people. And being communal people, we make no apologies for it, as I say. We're non-apologetic Africans. And if you don't want to call yourself African, it's quite all right. But the burnt marks are already tattooed on your face. You couldn't hide it if you wanted to. Now, why do I talk so much about being African? is because you can't forget, lest you forget and return to slavery. You must always be mindful of who you are and what you represent. The burnt-skinned people of the Nubian tribe will never be able to forget the fact that we're black, because everywhere we go, we're judged by our content of our color, not our character. It's unfortunate. So you must make it up in your mind you're going to make no apologies for the fact that you were born black. It's not a curse. You're not upon the curse of Canaan. You're communal and you're tribal. And you must understand that's why you step to the same beat of the African. That is why your dance is like the African. That is why when drums play, you move to the rhythm just like an African, because you're a tribal person. And because you consider the whole tribe and not else. Being tribal doesn't mean that you give up on who you are as an individual. You must remember we inherited, Africans inherited slave names. Those are not our names. Mr. Johnson, Mr. Huckleberry, those are not our names. Those were never our names. Those were slave names we took on. We had tribal names. But remember, we had the name beaten out of him because he was given a name. A name will define you. A name has a lot to do with how you carry out your life. So being tribal people, we were taught to go and adapt new names. And when you adopt new names, the new names will depict who you are and your character. It's wise to adopt at least three names and let those names come from African traditional books. And let those names be meaningful, not just names that you were given through your slave master. Now, I don't know how many of you have come from a large family, but those of us who have come from large families understand what it's like to be tribal. What it's like to be communal. And there are some communities where you find organizations such as Yoruba where they live together in a communal setting and they share their belongings and they stockpile their products and they all use them. Now, we haven't gotten that established here in the United States of America in all of the 50 states. Now, it's already established over in South Carolina where they have an area where they go as tribal people. Now, right here in Indiana, in Indianapolis, there is tribal settings as well. Now, in order for us to make it in these end times, the reason why I brought this topic up is that we're going to have to go back to a tribal state, and we're going to have to use our bartering system, and we're going to have to also use our gardening ability and our purchasing power to come up under a global effect of communal living. And that is why our marriages will be conducive to polygamous marriages, because it will be conducive to a communal setting. Now, this is a broad topic, ladies and gentlemen. There's no way we can finish all of this in one night setting. And that's why we're going to take the rest of this month to branch out and talk about tribal living and the benefits of tribal living and why Africans are communal and why is it that when we have a gathering, we are at our best when we are with our loved ones, because we are our loved ones. Our ancestors are us. That's why they don't die. They come back through the faces of our children. They recycle themselves. You know how you used to say, oh, don't Johnny look just like Grandpa? He acts like Grandpa. He even moves his mouth like Grandpa. And we don't realize those children are recycling right back through our ancestors, and they're coming back in our circle. We're ancestral people, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know that. And we're spiritual and communal people. And it's not by accident. We're non-apologetic, and we make no apologies for it. That's what you have to stop doing, making an apology. Oh, my hair is too nappy. Oh, I got to straighten it. Oh, I got to do something with it. Oh, I got to slick it down. Oh, I got to weave it and bun it. And would you believe it, I might just take a notion just to leave it. That's part of my poem, because I talked about in my poetry how we fidget over our hair and the fact that we want it to be straight and acceptable by the European race. We have to get over it, because we have to satisfy ourselves. If we become schizophrenic in the morning because we're going through a tizzy and trying to determine whether it be straight or kinky, then we have to get over it. So why not just wear your hair with the ninth ether and have that coil left in there so you can continue to reconnect with your higher self? And that way you get a signal from God, and God can relate to you what's really going on. So what is really going on with this tribal thing, you ask Omi? What is really going on? So how can I benefit from being a tribal person? I mean, can I make any money from this? Or can I become esteemed and advance myself from becoming tribal? There are many benefits to becoming tribal, many. As just as you and your brother are out working together and lobbying and laboring together, you're going to benefit because your brother's going to have your back. Your brother's going to be watching out for you. You can't do anything in your own strength. Don't tell me that you got your own plans, you're going to do your own thing. Don't tell me that, because the brothers that went off the side to do their own thing always end up failing because they didn't have anybody that had their back. So I want to say this tribal and communal thing is real. And when you hear Omi say, Omi Ika 7 at a tribe, I mean that, because my ancestors have never left me. They're surrounding me, and they continue to surround me, and a spiritual chief was able to see this, that my ancestors came back here to earth to protect me, and my very name means ancestors surrounding me. So you have to remember, some of your ancestors stay with you. You couldn't get away from them if you wanted to, but it's very important that you understand it's a tribal thing. That's right, and that doesn't mean you got to go out discotheking every night. There are places that tribal people go to listen to spiritual music so that you can become invoked and you can allow God to work himself through you and speak through you. There are forms of nightclubs now that are forming all over the continent that are playing tribal music and music to induce a trance, to bring you up under a trance so that God can speak through you. Now, because of slavery, some of the stuff that we went through that was so devastating, it has caused us to be off-tempered and somewhat out of our mind. And because we don't know ourselves, we continue to act out of norm. And so many of us are getting treatment right now. The way we correct our problem and develop our own treatment and antidotes, we go back to our old ways of being tribal. We go back to our old ways of having a peace pipe talk, bringing everyone around the circle as we sit down and begin to ponder over the things that are going on and coming up with solutions. And we do that often enough till we come up with solutions for our own problems. As I told you, we are going to become character builders, and we are going to establish ourselves so that we are erect and living in right standing, and we won't have to have anyone to secure over us for governing us, because we're going to govern ourselves. So we're going to start doing that right away, talking about how do we self-govern ourselves? How do we make up our own laws? How do we create our own legal, customized laws that we live by, like the 142 confessions, as we talked about the Ten Commandments. Well, the Africans had 142 confessions, and when we live by those confessions, we die by them as Africans. Our word was our bond, and that's what we're going to have to start doing, making our word our bond, and letting a handshake mean our word is with a handshake. It's very important for you to stay tribal. it's very important for you to be communal, because God is honoring communal things. He's showing you how to become God now. He's allowing you to push God forward in your life. And you will be acting as the many gods here on this earth. And you've got to have good character and good conduct if you want to be able to call yourself a god. You cannot act in a non-persuasive way and call yourself a god. You've got to understand a communal lifestyle calls for you to become a god. And we're going to talk all about how you can develop communal lifestyles within the urban setting and how you can create a communal lifestyle within your church. Because churches have to overhaul themselves. They have to play catch-up, and they have to upgrade. We no longer have a need for the churches that are existing now. They need to upgrade themselves to provide more cultural events so that we are staying with our culture, and out of our culture comes our religion. And we are going to be able to tell you how religion comes up out of your culture. You can't make a religion for yourself unless you know your culture. Otherwise, you are reproducing a Eurocentric religion, which is not yours. That's why you find so many men that won't show up in church. They won't be a part of church because it's not a part of their culture. And religion and culture are simultaneously one in the other. And without religion, you don't have a culture. And without culture, you don't have a religion. And I can show you that better than I can tell you, because every person who defined themselves and their country, they created their definition of what it was that they were going to define, and then they created an army to protect that concept. And that army was what kept their concepts alive, not necessarily religion. See, we go to the extreme when it comes to religion as African Americans, where we go spooky on us, whereas Europeans use their religion as a business, and it becomes a support system, an organization. We go into the spiritual thing, and God has not told us to go in anybody's church and become spiritual. You can become spiritual right along your bedside, and you can still tap into your ancestors right in your home. And we're going to learn the benefit of church. Church is going to have to upgrade itself so it can start working as an organization, as a business, and doing some of the work and being a foot soldier and going to the highways and byways and helping those people to understand what communal lifestyle is. And once we understand communal lifestyle, we'll understand what sustainability is, and we'll be able to sustain ourselves off the basic land. We'll be able to sustain ourselves off of what God has given us. And he has truly given us abundance. We just have to know where is the abundance and how do we become rich again through naming it and creating our own abundance and through looking at how to adapt our cowrie shells again and going to the bartering system and leaving the universe alone and going back to a communal lifestyle. Let's get back to the old. Let's get back to the old communal lifestyle so we can live and prosper and have a lifestyle like kings and queens had, like our ancestors did. I know we can do it, and it's up to you and I to make sure we can do it. And as we begin to look at our life, we'll see that there's something new coming up. ladies and gentlemen. I want you to get in position to become communal, and I want you to understand the reason why we have to make this transition and mind shift. Because if we are to go back to leading and ruling again, we're going to have a mind change and a mind shift. And if we are looking at our ancestors, that's right, Hatshepsut and all of the Egyptians, they were our ancestors, and they're part of us, and we're part of them. If we're going to go back to ruling again, we're going to have to go back to a dynasty that ruled in perfect harmony. And we're going to have to look to our ancestors to become more communal. And we're going to have to understand that the reason why they were so successful is because they depended on one another to prosper. And they knew that the power of one could not excel them or grant them anything. And they were conscious of the fact that as they helped their brother and as they began to establish their brother to stand on their shoulder, then the next person stand on their shoulder. As we crawl over the backs of our ancestors, that's how we advance ourselves. And each one of us are each other's brother. And no man is an island. You have to understand that. And each man's breath belongs to us. And once we begin to understand that we are communal and that the breath that my brother takes, that I take that breath too, then we begin to understand the way we beat the system and the way we begin to win again is to start showing and demonstrating more communal activities in the community, more lively activities in the community where we are showing kinship again. I don't know about you, but I'm kin to the ocean. I'm kin to the rivers. I'm kin to the stream. And I'm even kin to the brown-skinned brother, the black brother, the white brother. We're kin to all of you. And your peers, you might not know this, but you're kin to us because you came from us. We created you, and you were a part of us. So we can't X out our brothers and sisters. We have got to find the appropriate place for them, and we must realize that communal people acknowledge who their children are. Communal people always set the record straight. And the reason why the world has been off kilter and wobbly, because you got children leading this world, and they are all off course, and the mothers and fathers must get their children back in order again, and they must set the record straight and show them how to become communal again and have a communal lifestyle. Everyone that lived out in the wild, on the earth, and lived